Good morning and welcome to Spotlight on Industry, the newest offering in KXCV KRNW's lineup of original programming. I'm your host, Sam Mason. Spotlight on Industry is a program where we take you inside our region's manufacturing plants and processing facilities so that we can learn about the goods they produce, where they end up when they leave the plant, and the impact these facilities have on our local economies. People may not realize that KXCV is the most powerful FM radio station in Northwest Missouri. At 100,000 watts of power, KXCV sends out its signal 90 miles in every direction from our transmitter located just north of Maryville. Our sister station, KRNW in Chillicothe, sends out a signal more than 40 miles from its location. This means that between the two stations, we cover approximately 14,000 square miles in the state of Missouri, as well as parts of Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska. Now, while we recognize and will never argue the fact that agriculture is king in this part of the United States, it's equally important to remember that KXCV and KRNW's coverage area is also home to many forms of industry and manufacturing and the hardworking people who keep those facilities running. Now, the goal of this program is to shine the spotlight on the other businesses that fuel our economy and provide thousands of jobs for the hardworking people that call the area home. Spotlight on Industry is your opportunity to hear from the leaders of those companies and to take a tour inside these facilities that you may drive by every day and wonder, what exactly do they do in there? We'll talk with the men and women who operate the machines and equipment that manufacture such things as steel, small gasoline-powered engines, wire, tire chains, automotive components, work gloves, truck lifts, food packaging, and even the cardboard tube that's inside your roll of aluminum foil. I'll bet you didn't know that those were made right here in your backyard. We'll learn all about these products and more as we shine the spotlight on industry.
Support for Spotlight on Industry on KXCV KRNW comes from Nottoway County Economic Development. Coordinating economic development services for the City of Maryville, Nottoway County, and the Maryville Industrial Development Corporation. Their services include finance and incentives development, site location, industrial development, and small business assistance. More at MaryvilleMo.org. And from Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park provides Nottoway County residents and visitors with an 18-hole golf course, driving range, and a 9-hole junior course coming 2015. More on Mazingo's golf offerings is at MazingoLake.com. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, Missouri, offering residents and visitors opportunities in education, employment, health care, and recreation, as well as agricultural, industrial, retail, and professional services. More information about the City of Maryville is at www.maryville.org.
As a nation of consumers, we take for granted the products that we buy. We don't give much thought to where they came from or who made them. All we really care about is that they're available when we want them. Chances are, the company we are going to learn about today makes a product that affects your life every day. Did you ride in a car today? Did you visit the grocery store? Did you eat? Did you fill up your gas tank or even step inside a house or building? Well, I'm willing to bet that you did at least one, if not all, of these things. If so, the steel that goes in and out of Nucor LMP in Maryville played a vital role in all of these things. This month, I had the opportunity to sit down with Nucor LMP's general manager, Kevin Vandeven. I asked him to tell us more about the company, his team, and their products.
I think a lot of folks around Maryville wonder what we do here at Nucor LMP as they drive by on their way to the lake or to play golf out at Mazingo. So what we do, we're a steel processor. So we take steel in different sizes and shapes and process it into other products and prepare it for its first stage of manufacturing. So we are called the cold drawer and cold header.
So you don't actually make steel here. You bring steel in and you make it into something per your customer's order and specifications.
That's correct. We'll make most of the steel that we use here at a sister division in Nebraska.
How long has this facility in Maryville been in operation?
This facility started in 1958 by three local guys, Norval Saylor, Dave White, and Jesse Taylor. And originally was Lloyd Metal Products. And they started the company, was really the focus was connecting culvert, corrugated steel pipe together. And we still do some of the products to connect those pipes today.
So it did start out as a locally owned business, and it wasn't really necessarily family owned because those three individuals were partners that came together. Did the business stay in the family or in their families for a number of years?
It did not. Those three gentlemen were involved for a number of years, and there were a couple of different ownership groups over the years. Some local owners that were not family with any of the three founders, and then another ownership group later on with a couple of individuals from Kansas City as the primary shareholders. And for a short period of time, we were actually owned by Fiat, the Italian automaker. As we evolved over the years and got into different metals besides just the connectors for the corrugated metal pipes, they changed the name to LMP Steel and Wire. And then when we were acquired in 2007 by Nucor, the name was changed to Nucor LMP.
Let's talk a little bit more about your product. Once they leave this facility, where do they go? What industries are they used in?
Well, we have three primary products that we produce here, and those are fasteners, as we talked about earlier, that actually connect drainage systems together.
Okay.
And that's how the company was started. So you're talking about bolts and rivets and tie rods that are going to fasten these drainage systems together. That's a small part of our business today. The second item that we produce is Bright Basic Wire. This will go into POP, point of purchase displays, as you're checking out at a store and you'll see magazine racks or candy racks. These POP display racks, those are made out of Bright Basic Wire. Also in your grocery stores, your freezer shelving, shelving in closets, your appliance shelving, those are all made out of Bright Basic Wire as well. So we'll sell the producers of those products. Also automotive wire underneath your seats in your car or truck, that's full of wire. Seating systems are all made of Bright Basic Wire as well.
Okay.
One of our largest wire customers up in Nebraska makes survey flags. And they started that company many years ago as well. And we like to say here we've made enough survey flag for our good friends up in Nebraska to go to the moon and back several times. So we're all familiar with that product,
okay.
The survey flag.
So the little small flags that have a bright, it's a little piece of wire with a bright flag on it. You produce the steel that they make those flags out of.
That's correct.
Okay. And same thing going back to the wire shelving in your grocery freezer. So you take in the steel and you convert it into that wire that you sell to a manufacturer who then in turn makes the shelving.
That's correct. We're going to take the steel and cold draw it through a series of dies and make it stronger, more dimensionally accurate, and cleaner, and prepare it for that welding and forming operation that the hot roll would not stand up to.
Okay.
So you'll have to cold draw that product in order to put it into that application.
Okay.
And the third product that we have here, and our largest product, is actually a cold drawn bar. And that's bigger diameters. We go up to a 3.5-inch diameter and down as small as a 16th inch. That's generally cut into various lengths and sold where wire is sold in a coil, a bar is sold in a cut length.
Okay.
This product is going to go into energy, all types of energy applications. So once we're getting oil and gas out of the ground, we'll have to use cold drawn bar for pumps and shafts and coupling. Automotive, again, underneath the car is where your cold drawn bar will be. We aren't the sheet product, but we're the product underneath the car.
Okay.
Steering systems and tie rods and anything with a moving part generally has a cold drawn bar.
Okay.
Also, again, back to appliance. Your washing machine, when it goes on a spin cycle, there's a cold drawn bar that cycle's spinning around. And that's a very strong product that can withstand, many, many, many years of that, of going through that spin cycle.
Okay. All right.
So agriculture equipment, construction equipment, people like John Deere and folks like that would be buyers of cold drawn bar.
There again, going back to the premise of this whole program, I think it's interesting that so many of these products that we don't even know exist in washing machines and vehicles and farm equipment and wire shelving for grocery stores. Those are things we take for granted, but yet those are things that are made right here in Maryville in the Midwest.
It is very interesting. I think there are many people in the region here that don't know exactly what does go on at this plant. So again, that's why we're so happy to have had you guys stop in.
You said that some of that steel comes from Nucor. Is that their primary business?
Nucor is the largest steel and steel products producer in North America. Nucor is a company that first and foremost cares about its teammates, its employees, and treats them right, cares about the community that they operate in and are very good environmental stewards. So it just could not have been any better for Maryville and Nottoway County to have Nucor come in and acquire LMP Steel and Wire as we transitioned. You know, a company as old as Nucor LMP or as LMP Steel and Wire prior to that, 57 years old now, makes us one of the oldest processors in our industry. You're going to transition through different ownership groups, whether it's different generations of family, maybe going from privately held to publicly held. And whenever you transition, those are key periods in a company's history. And if you transition poorly, it really can put the company at risk and the employees' futures at risk. And we were very lucky and just as pleased as could be. We could not have, in 2007, had a better acquirer than Nucor Steel.
It's always very unsettling for employees to go through that sort of thing. So it's good to know that Nucor went through something that was a smooth transition and didn't really have an effect on the morale of your teammates.
Right. And there is always some initial fear among all of the team members when you're going through change like that. But Nucor had been a supplier to this division for many years. So many of our teammates had worked with team members at other Nucor divisions. So there was some familiarity there. And then the other thing that happened, Sam, in late 2008 and 2009, with kind of the Great Recession, if you will, the biggest slowdown that any of us have seen in our careers in the economy, We hunkered down and we stayed together. And our teammates here saw other companies handling that differently, not so much in this region, but, you know, throughout the country. And, you know, those were trying times. And we didn't always have 40 hours of work. You know, we weren't as busy as we needed to be. But we stayed together, we rode through it together, we didn't lay off any teammates, and we worked as a team through it. And as business picked back up, as our competitors were trying to rehire people, we still had our core team together. And the team saw firsthand what they thought to be the case, but they lived it. And they saw how Nucor really stuck by them through the most trying period that any of us will have ever gone through in our business careers.
Now, you talked about your employees. You spoke, of course, very highly of all your employees. So how many people do you have at this facility?
We have 130 teammates here.
Okay. And those are full-time and part-time?
We will, at any given time, we may have 2 to 3 part-time, but the majority are full-time employees. And we may have 2 to 3 temporary workers, either temps that are not full-time workers or coming through the temp agency, but the majority of our people are full-time teammates.
Okay. And I assume that you're going to draw people from all over the region, but where do most of the people who work in your facility come from? Do they live right here in Maryville? Are they from all around Nottoway County or other counties?
The vast majority of our teammates come from Nottoway County. We do draw from some of the adjoining counties, but the majority come from Nottoway County.
So I guess tell us maybe a little bit about, certainly we know the value of having local jobs, but what else can you tell us about the economic impact of Nucor here in Nottoway County?
Well, obviously the payroll and the tax base is critically important. You know, companies like Nucor LMP and the other manufacturing facilities are part of what makes this such a great place to live. Giving people good paying jobs creates an environment to where we have good schools, we have great education available for them. You know, most of the money that our guys earn here is spent locally. It bleeds off into all the other community businesses, and so it's a quality of life issue.
So in closing, what's the primary thing that you would like for our listeners to understand about Nucor LMP?
Well, I had a chance to speak at the university at a class, I believe it was an HR class a couple of years back, and I asked the students in the class, how many of you all are interested in going to work in manufacturing? And I'm not sure a single student raised their hand. I wasn't surprised by that. There's one thing I'd like for your listeners to understand is this country has always been a country that builds and makes things. And in order for us to continue to thrive, we've got to be a nation that builds and makes things. And manufacturing is a great place to make a living. So I'd like your listeners to understand that if they'd like to work in manufacturing, there's not a better place to work than at Nucor LMP. Safety is our number one priority. We know that people have to feel like they're going to go home from work the same way that they came. So we take safety as our top priority. Number two, we understand people work to make a good living. So we're committed to giving people good pay and growing pay. And finally, people want to be able to control their own destiny. They want to feel like they're in control of their career development. And so we'll encourage and really mentor and ask people to get involved in the community, to get involved in activities, to take on leadership positions on different teams, community functions, community events, so that they do have an opportunity to control their own destiny. So I guess I'd like your listeners to understand that this is a great place to earn a living if they're interested in going to work in manufacturing.
Kevin, it's been great talking to you.
Thank you, Sam.
That's Kevin Vandeven, General Manager of Nucor LMP in Maryville. As we learned, Nucor LMP produces cold-drawn steel in either spools of wire or bars. You encounter their products every time you sit in a car seat or reach for a gallon of milk off the shelf at your grocery store. It's interesting, Kevin mentioned that they produce survey flag wire for a customer in Nebraska. Each week, they ship 60,000 pounds of that wire from the plant. That's over 3.1 million pounds of wire a year. 9,360 miles of wire. That's enough to stretch from the state of Washington to Florida three times. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll take a tour of the plant and hear what it takes to turn raw steel into the final product.
Support for Spotlight on Industry on KXCV KRNW comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, coordinating economic development services for the city of Maryville, Nottoway County, and the Maryville Industrial Development Corporation. Their services include finance and incentives development, site location, industrial development, and small business assistance. More at maryvillemo.org. And from Mazinga Lake Recreation Park, the park offers residents and visitors camping facilities for tents and RVs, as well as lakeside cabin rentals. Mazinga Lake also offers boating, fishing, hiking, and equestrian trails. More information about Mazinga is at mazingalake.com. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, Missouri, offering residents and visitors opportunities in education, employment, healthcare, and recreation, as well as agricultural, industrial, retail, and professional services. More information about the City of Maryville is at www.maryville.org.
Welcome back to Spotlight on Industry, KXCV KRNW's newest program that takes you inside the manufacturing facilities of our region. If you're just joining us, we've been visiting with Nucor LMP's General Manager, Kevin Vandeven. We learned during our interview with Kevin that Nucor LMP utilizes a cold drawing process to turn rough steel wire into either finished straight bars or what is referred to in their industry as bright basic wire. Now, the wire will eventually be used in such things as automobile seats, shelving for appliances or grocery store shelves, point-of-purchase fixtures such as magazine racks, survey flag wire, and, as we learned on our tour, face masks for football helmets and other sporting equipment. The finished cold-drawn bars they create will find their way into oil and gas rigs, water wells and motors, maybe even John Deere tractors, receiver hitches to put on the back of your pickup truck, steering systems for cars, as well as shafts for pneumatic or hydraulic cylinders. My producer Karen and I donned our hard hats, safety glasses, and earplugs and had a chance to go inside the plant to see how it works. The plant encompasses four main buildings. Nucor LMP's operations manager of 34 years, Bob McKee, took us on a tour of buildings 1 and 4. Now, building 1 houses the coil-to-bar line. That produces the straight bars, which are produced per their customer specifications. They're then packed and shipped as they come off the line. Some of these bars need further processing, and as we learned, Nucor LMP offers a value-added service to its customers by fine-finishing the bars over in Building 4. We learned about both of these processes, but it all starts with the raw stock. As Kevin had mentioned, Nucor is the country's largest metal recycler. Much of their raw material comes from other Nucor plants and was once such things as washing machines, clothes dryers, or refrigerators. The steel arrives at the plant in 6,000-pound coils. There's a large turntable in the floor that has two spools rising out of it vertically. A fork truck hoists a coil as one of the spools tilts to about a 30-degree angle. This giant coil of wire is then slid onto the top of one of the spools, and once loaded, the spool will tilt back to 90 degrees. The machine operator then manipulates a joystick that controls a robotic arm that will grasp the free end of the coil and safely feed it into the machine. The machine's operator, Jeff, describes the process.
Mainly what I do is run this into the machine where you load the coil and pre-straighten it so that it takes the memory out so it's not in a circular ring, so that it'd be easier to straighten up the front of it on the finishing wheel. And I push point it through the die, and which draws it to the size we need, and then we start it through the machine, and then it goes on to the other process.
The raw wire is almost black in color and has a rough surface that must be cleaned off before the processing can continue. Operations manager Bob McKee explains.
We've moved down the line. We're looking at the cleaning process. This is basically like sandblasting. You're familiar with that term, only instead of using sand for the media, this is hardened steel shot. Cleans the scale off the material, cleans the surface a little bit so it will hold oil, and then we're ready for drawing.
Keep in mind, the purpose of this process is to take a larger diameter piece of wire and draw, or a more familiar word might be, compress and stretch it down to a slightly smaller diameter. This is done by putting it through a die. One of the machine's other operators, Mike, explains the process.
We draw our material down to size with a round die that taper case. They're different degrees and different angles, and it draws our bar to size.
So is it just with force and pressure that you take a larger piece of stock and force it into that? Or is the raw stock the same rough diameter of that?
Now, our rough stock is about 60 to 90 thousandths bigger than our finish size, and we'll draw it down to a finish size.
It's not much bigger than the final size.
Sometimes we'll do 120 thousandths draft, but that's pretty big.
One thing that is important to think about as you visualize the process is that the wire is really being pulled or drawn through the machine rather than being pushed. Think about threading a needle. Initially, you push the thread through the eye of the needle to get it started, but once it's through, you grab the free end of the thread and pull it through the rest of the way. This wire drawing machine is really doing the exact same thing. The robotic arm on the front of the machine gets the coil of wire started, and it's initially pushed through the pre-straightening and cleaning process by rollers. But in order to really draw the wire through the die, it needs to be pulled by the machine. Once again, operations manager Bob McKee explains the technology behind it and how the wire is then cut to length and straightened.
What we're watching here is a combination of drawing lines that they've coiled the bar. This is where the actual drawing takes place. These two carriages run back and forth. They're driven by a cam, a large motor. They basically work like your hands. This one grabs, pulls. This one comes up, closes, pulls, and it's like your hands, passing one piece to the other.
Almost like you are pulling a rope.
That would be correct. This would be where the material is cut to length. The flying shear that travels at line speed, it cuts the bar so you get a very consistent length. The tolerance on this would be somewhere around 1 inch. Okay, what we're looking at now is the finished straightening process. And in order to straighten a round bar, you must spin it through an arc to straighten. So the idea is to achieve enough bend to exceed the yield strength so the material stays straight.
The final step of the coil-to-bar process is to collect the bars after the final straightening. They're collected into 3,800-pound bundles, strapped together, and then hoisted by a gantry crane and taken to a warehouse area where they are held for shipping. As we walked through the plant, we had to be ever mindful of safety. Not only was it important for us to wear our personal protective equipment, or PPE, We had to be careful to watch where we were stepping, only walk within designated walkways, and be on the lookout for product being moved overhead by gantry cranes or on the floor by forklifts. While on the tour, we were introduced to Nucor LNP Safety and Environmental Manager Rick Liberty, who told us about the importance of safety in the plant.
Well, it's definitely the number one thing we have to do in order to keep everybody safe and keep them going home the same way they came in. That's the number one thing. So,
I was noticing the blue lights on the trucks. Tell us a little bit about that.
We have a safety team that they look at the mobile equipment, and what they determined was we put blue lights that shine at the floor at blind spots and areas like that. If the blue light you see come across the floor, you know, in your area, it's an indication that the forklift's coming your way. So you might not see it, you'll see that blue light on the floor.
When we were visiting with General Manager Kevin Vandeven, he spoke glowingly of his employees at Nucor LNP and what great team players they are. We met several people on our tour who were eager to tell us about their jobs and how the process works, but none were as eager and excited about the company as a gentleman we met while we were passing through the wire drawing building. Greg Byers is from Maryville, and even though he's only been with Nucor LNP for 5 years, which is a short amount of time in Nucor's world, he has a tremendous enthusiasm for his job and the company. We spent a few minutes with Greg, and he spoke about the basic process for making bright basic wire and their dedication to quality.
We keep our stock is basically by orders only. We don't have a lot of inventory in. And basically we run it through our machines and pull it through dies to bring it down to a size and have to have a certain tensile. It goes through a rigorous process of quality control. We want to make sure that we have the best for our customers, and we try and go over what our customer wants to exceed their expectations. So.
Throughout our tour, it was obvious that Nucor LNP's employees take a lot of pride in their work, but it was nice to hear someone talk about not just quality, but that they are dedicated to exceeding their customers' expectations. As we were talking to Greg, he mentioned one product that took us by surprise.
We draw a lot of wire for Set Sports. We draw a lot of wire for even face masks on their football helmets.
Yep. You heard him right. The bright basic wire that is made in Maryville by Nucor LNP is used to make face masks for Shutt football helmets. According to their website, 3 out of 4 players in the NFL wear Shutt helmets. Additionally, most major college teams have also made the switch, not to mention high school teams as well. Think about that this fall when your favorite team or player takes the field. Look for the logo on the front of the helmet to see if its face mask started its life right here in Northwest Missouri. I think it's safe to say that most people, regardless of their job, are pretty content to work each day, do their job, and then head home for the night to enjoy their free time with their families. Greg was eager to tell us that the employees from Nucor LNP are also actively engaged in the local community.
And part of it is our job, you know, as far as providing steel, but one thing about Nucor is we really care about our community. We have a lot of programs going on with our community as a CERTS, which is a community emergency response team in case of any kind of disaster. We have a very prominent environmental policy, STORM, and we try and give back to our community, whether it's recycling tires. We have teammates that go out and help with that, and we try and be a valuable person, not only just a company, but for our community too.
People who live and work in small communities better appreciate the companies they work for and the value those companies and their employees bring to that community. This was evidenced by Greg's enthusiasm for the company and their special emergency response and recycling programs. As we wrapped up our tour of buildings 1 and 2, we headed over to building 4, and on our way inside, we bumped into an employee who was headed to a local elementary school to read to a class of preschoolers. In building 1, we saw where coiled steel is turned into straight bars of varying diameters. We concluded our tour in building 4, where some of those bars go through a fine finishing process. Our tour guide was lead operator Curtis Brown. Curtis is from nearby Pickering, Missouri, and has been with Nucor LNP for 28 years. For the steel bars that are going into the most critical end-use applications, such as water well shafts, hydraulic cylinders, or oil and gas operations, it is critical that those bars are completely defect-free. Curtis explains.
This is where it all starts. We have hot roll that comes in from this part of the building. Hot roll is material that comes from our mills. It could also be material that comes from building one that we want to further process. We'll stage it, place it on our equipment over here. We've got a machine that does a pre-straightener, and what a pre-straightener does is your hot roll will have scale on it, and it can sometimes be oblong. So what we'll do with that is we'll run it through a pre-straightener, and it knocks the scales off, and it makes the bar round. It also does some straightening at that point. From there, it feeds into a table, and it goes through the bar turner, and that's the turner's actually turning the outside of the material off so that we have a defect-free bar.
That hard steel that Curtis mentioned is about to play an important part in Nucor LMP's story. The newest project coming to this plant in Maryville is called Rail 1. Nucor LMP is about to become the only steel processor in the United States that will be making the rebar for concrete railroad ties.
Rail 1 is a new product that's going to be going to the railroad yards, and they're going to be putting, instead of the old wooden ties down, they're going to be putting concrete ties down. And you can't just put plain concrete down. You got to have some kind of reinforcement rod in that, and that's what we're going to be producing. We're going to be producing the rod that goes into the cement that makes it stout enough to handle what the railroads are wanting.
You said you'll be the only plant in the United States processing that steel?
That is correct. We are the only one in the United States that will be processing it.
So are railroads using those new concrete ties to replace existing wooden ties that are wearing out?
Correct. That is what they're wanting to do. The lifespan on the cement ties are a lot longer than what it is on the wooden ties. And the other thing that it does for that is the railroad industry, and I'm sure you heard President Obama talk about wanting to move more material by rail. What this allow them to do is they'll be able to hold larger payloads, and they'll be able to run extremely fast on them. The cement is really smooth, and it allows you to hold a lot larger quantity of material.
Nucor LMP is currently in the process of setting up that new line and will be in production later this year. As we wrapped up our tour of Nucor LMP, we caught a glimpse of the final finishing process where they grind off as much as 7/1000ths of an inch of material from the bars. Ironically, there was so much to see on the tour we felt like we barely scratched the surface, which seems appropriate considering that's the nature of what they do. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this program and have learned a little something along the way. Living and working in a small community is much different than living and working in a large metropolitan area. Companies like Nucor LMP are firmly rooted in their communities. They place a high value on their employees, and, likewise, the employees place a high value on their employers. Employees tend to stick around longer. In fact, the 140-plus employees at Nucor LMP collectively have over 1,700 years of experience on the job. In the coming months, we'll explore more companies like Nucor LMP in the region that provide goods, services, and jobs that keep America working. Next month, we'll visit with Kawasaki's Vice President and Plant Manager, Steve Bratt. We'll learn about that company's recent decision to be annexed into the city of Maryville, their upcoming plant expansion, and, of course, we'll take a tour to see how they manufacture small gasoline-powered engines. Once again, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next month as we shine the spotlight on industry.
Support for Spotlight on Industry comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, and the City of Maryville. More information on all of our sponsors is available at MaryvilleMo.org. Spotlight on Industry is a production of KXCV-KRNW and Northwest Missouri State University. Our editor and producer is Karen Lawrence. For more information about how your company can be featured on Spotlight on Industry, please contact Sam Mason at 660-562-1163.